Hughes. Welcome to the outreach program sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and further assist those wishing to upgrade license status. The program tonight will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for an extra class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. This is the last one, 2300 Zulu, Tuesday night. This is the last one. For those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARS server at either EchoLink node number 96140, IRLP node 9614, All-Star node AST27404, DMRTG314-5983, or D-Star XLX004-J, and finally, Fusion YSF XLX004. Letting it drop. For those who are interested, please contact myself, Mike, Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, via email at BOIP at SCARS, B-O-I-P, one word, .com, to enroll in the class. Well, this is the last one, and be given directions as to the study material required, where we can help you there, and the manner to which you can be connected to get some more help. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the classes and sessions, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at BOIP at scarsboip.com. That's Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra Victor Oscar Mike Papa.com. Letting it drop. It should be mentioned this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email where? VOIP at scarsvoip.com. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website at www.scarsvoip.com. Letting it drop one more time. Please note, for all of our class members and instructors, it is extremely important that we all stay on the same page during these classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used in participating in this class will be the one found posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during our session. Do we have any emergencies or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? When is that thing actually listening to us? At this point, let us begin. I'm going to call on Kilo. Let me make sure I get the right one here. Yeah. Kilo Yankee 6 Victor Gordon down in Florida. Come aboard us and give us a little bit of input before we start this evening. Over. KD0, CDQ.
Well, thank you, Mike. Kind sir. Hope everything is well with you and yours out there in that Lone Star state that you're in. Gordon here, KY6V, and howdy all. And welcome to our last class hurrah, as this is our 10th and final class in the course. Tonight, our train will make its final stop at the destination. And I wish to thank all of the students that have demonstrated such a great attendance record and perseverance. If you all stayed on top of the week's assignments, you are ready. If you are taking your practice tests and achieving 80% or better, you are ready to take the final test and bring home the bacon. So please let us know your results. We love staying in contact with you all. At this point, let's start off with the final class. Kathy, would you start things rolling, please? K6SUN, KY6V.
I'd be happy to, and welcome to each of you tonight for our final class. My first question is Echo 9 Foxtrot 01. And it reads, what is the velocity factor of a transmission line? Your choices are several. We have A, the ratio of the characteristics impedance of the line to the terminating impedance, the index of shielding for a coaxial cable, and I'm going to go directly to D, which is actually the correct answer, the velocity of the wave in the transmission line divided by the velocity of light in a vacuum. Now, a velocity factor is a fractional value relating to a transmission line's propagation speed to the speed of light in a vacuum. Values range between 0.66 and 0.80 for a typical two-wire lines and coaxial cables. Now, when you need to know this value, simply search for the spec sheet for the coax that you are using. So with that, let me throw it out there for any questions or any comments. All right, hearing nothing, Mr. Gordon, KY6V, your next question is actually in the Foxtrot, and it's 02.
Well, thank you, Kathy. KY6V here. Echo 9 Foxtrot 02, ladies and gentlemen. Which of the following has the biggest effect on the velocity factor of a transmission line? And the answers that are given for choices here are A, the termination impedance, followed by the line length, followed by dielectric materials used in the line, and the last choice is the center conductor resistivity. Well, again, that question was which of the following has the biggest effect on the velocity factor of the transmission? And the answer is C, which is the dielectric material used in the line. Don't forget, don't use the alpha designators in any memorization type stuff. You'll find that the velocity factor changes depending on the dielectric being used, and poly, foam, air, and so on all have different velocity factors. Again, check the spec sheet to your transmission line that you're using, and you'll have the velocity factor right there in front of you, and you can act accordingly. Any questions on this, please? Okay, Mrs. Smith. G07.
Thank you, and I actually love this question. It's Echo 9 Golf 01, and it reads, which of the following can be calculated using a Smith chart? Your choices are alpha, impedance along transmission lines, bravo is radiation resistance, Charlie is antenna radiation pattern, and Delta is radio propagation. Your correct answer is actually alpha, impedance along transmission lines. So what do you think a Smith chart is? Well, I'll tell you. It's Gordon and Kathleen Smith. It's a chart that we made up. No, really it's not. It's just a plot of complex reflection overlaid with an impedance and or admittance grid reference to a 1-ohm characteristic impedance. That's it. Transmission coefficient, which equals unity plus reflection coefficient, may also be plotted. The Smith chart contains almost all possible impedances, real or imaginary, within one circle. All imaginary impedances from infinity to infinity is represented. So with that, let me see if there's any questions or comments before I throw it over to Gordon. Well, Gordon, I guess they didn't want to respond to my and your Smith chart, so you can take the next question, which is Echo 9 Gulp 02.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Smith. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I had absolutely nothing to do with the chart. It was all put together by Kathy because she likes to make circles and makes excellent circles. And I'm kidding about that also. Okay, we're going to look at Echo 9 Golf 02 next. And that reads, what type of coordinate system is used in the Smith chart? And the answers that they offer is voltage circles and current arcs, followed by resistance circles and reactance arcs, followed by voltage lines and current cords. That's an interesting choice of words. Resistant lines and reactance cords. Okay. The normalized impedance Smith chart is composed of two family of circles, guys and gals. Circles of constant normalized resistance and circles of constant normalized reactance. It's quite a piece of art. I think it was originally designed back when the Red Sea was being parted. At least I know that it was back in the 20s or the 30s when this was first created. It's been used for years. It's a little confusing to get started with, but once you've played with it a little bit and understand where you need to look on those circles for what you're trying to find, you'll find it a neat tool. But I will say that you probably are not going to be using that very often because there's other quicker means, I think, at your hands. Let me buy a nickel here. So any questions on that, please? Okay, Kathy. Hotel 06. You're coming into my field. I love what you're about to talk about. Over.
Well, actually, you love everything about ham radio, so it's just not one thing, and you know that. My question is Echo 9, Hotel 06, and it reads, what is the triangulation method of direction finding? And your choices are alpha. The geometric angles of sky waves from the source are used to determine its position. Bravo is a fixed receiving station, plots three headings to the signal source. Charlie, which is actually the right answer, ladies and gentlemen, antenna headings from several different receiving locations are used to locate the signal source. And Delta reads, a fixed receiving station uses three different antennas to plot the location of the signal source. So triangulation is a process by which the location of a radio transmitter can be determined by measuring either the radial distance or the direction of the received signal from two or three different points. Triangulation is sometimes used in cellular communications to pinpoint the geographic position of a user. With that, any comments, any questions, or maybe you just want to say hi to us? So is there anyone out there that want to make any comments?
Well, first off, this is KD0CDQ. We call that a fox hunt. We do these fox hunts where we send out a signal and try to locate where that signal is coming from. We do that just for drills. Do it once a year in the winter, in the night, when it's cold, always at the worst time, when it's raining. So it's a fun thing to do, the triangulation and a fox hunt. KD0CDQ, back to you, Kathy.
Well, thank you, Mike, for that. All right, Mr. Gordon Smith, KY6B. Your question is Hotel 07.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for that comment, too, Mike. You called it a fox hunt. That's the way you call it, I guess, tally-ho and all of that in Texas. Out in California, we call it a bunny hunt. But whatever you call it, guys and gals, it's a lot of fun. normally speaking, a guy will go get in his automobile and go hide someplace in town. And some of the stories I can tell you on bunny hunts are really cute. They've gone to great means to try to ward off the guys from finding them. So at any rate, and then all of the rest of the participants, you know, have directional type antennas. Some you use cubicle quads, some use beams, some use sensing antennas. At any rate, they take a couple of bearings at a couple of different locations and cross it on a map, and they say, that dude's at 14th Street and Elm, or wherever he may be. Let me buy a nickel here. We are moving on to Echo 9 Hotel 07. I think I'm right on that, Kathy. Okay. Why is RF attenuation used in direction finding? Now, that's a good question, too, guys. The answers that they supply is to narrow the receiver bandwidth. The second answer they give is to compensate for isotropic directivity and the antenna effect of feed lines. They had fun with this one. The third one is to increase receiver sensitivity. And the last one, which is the correct one, D as in Delta, says to prevent receiver overload, which reduces pattern nulls. Now, the question speaks for itself, in my opinion. The closer you get to the search point, the stronger the signal in your receiver becomes. So to off-counter the receiver overload and improve the direction sensitivity of your equipment, an RF attenuator should be used. Any questions on this, please? Okay, Mademoiselle A01.
All right, thanks so much. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and my question is E0 Alpha 01, and it reads, what is the primary function of an external earth connection or a ground rod? And your choices are Alpha, reduced receive noise, Bravo, lightning protection, Charlie, reduced RF current flow between pieces of equipment, or Delta, reduced RFI to telephones and home entertainment systems. Your correct answer is Bravo, lightning protection. Ground rods, also known as grounding electrodes, are used to connect the grounding system of electrical systems to earth ground. Now, ground rods can be made with many different materials, but copper is the most common used for residential installations. All right. That's my question. I'm going to throw it directly over to you, Gordon. E0 Alpha 02.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. The only thing I can say on your last question is ground is not ground. The world around, guys and gals. So sometimes you have to run that rod a little deeper to get the pay dirt. Okay, we're going into Echo 0 Alpha 02, and that reads, when evaluating RF exposure levels from your station at a neighbor's home, what must you do? The answers are, ensure signals from your station are less than controlled maximum permitted exposure, that's the MPE limits. B, ensure signals from your station are less than the uncontrolled maximum. C, ensure signals from your station are less than the controlled maximum permitted emission, again, the MPE limits. Or, ensure signals from your station are less than the uncontrolled maximum permitted emission MPE limits. Well, that's a lot to say, but the correct answer is ensure signals from your station are less than the uncontrolled maximum permitted by these exposure restrictions. So again, you know, this question speaks for itself. A good reference material that I would suggest that you should look at can be found it's an FCC document, it's online, and it's called OET, Oscar Echo Tango, Bulletin Number 65. It puts it out all in black and white, and I think everybody at some point or another should look at that and at least try to understand it so they know what they're doing. Okay, any questions on this, please? Well, okay, Kathy. Let's see, your question comes up here over the range. Is that anything like over rainbow? Go ahead with Alpha 03, please.
Well, I'm not sure about over the rainbow at all. But yes, it is Echo 0 Alpha 03. And it reads, over what range of frequencies are the FCC human body RF exposure limits most restrictive? Now listen to these answers because I'm going to call on someone to give me the answer. Alpha is 300 kilohertz to 3 megahertz. Bravo is 3 to 30 megahertz. C is 30 to 300 megahertz. And Delta is 300 to 3,000 megahertz. So, is anyone out there, any of our class members, anybody connected, want to take a stab at this one?
Zulu, India.
Well, hi, Tom. I was hoping that you'd come aboard and answer the question for me. So, which one of these four is your correct answer?
Well, good evening, everybody. Good evening, Kathy. The choice is Charlie, BHF. 30 to 300 megahertz, and we had a good discussion with that on the Rag Chew the other night. And thanks to K2HA and N8PC's explanations, it made it very easy to remember. And the reason is because the body is so susceptible to those frequencies that it's the most harmful of.
All right, I'm glad that they explained that to you, and you are absolutely correct. And the most restrictive limits on whole body exposure are in the frequency range of 30 to 300 megahertz, where the human body absorbs RF energy most efficiently when the whole body is exposed. Thank you, Mr. Tom, for coming aboard and answering the question for us. Seems awful quiet out there with you class members, so I wanted to get some interaction, some discussion. So with that, Gordon, I'm going to throw it over to you for Alpha 04, and I think after this one, I only have one more, and then I'll be done.
Okay, Kathy, thank you. Hi, Tom. And I agree, that was a good conversation on the subject on the Rag Chew with Fred. And the gang. To give you guys a little background, you know, we have been promoting through the month and through the course here for the extra practice questions from the pool that are published on the live section of the website. And Fred picks up one, two, or three of those each week, either on a Saturday or Sunday or a combination of both, and they have a little discussion, in-depth discussion, about what the right answer is and why it should be the right answer and so on. So that's what Tom was talking about. Okay, let's see. We're going into Echo 0 Alpha 04. It reads, when evaluating a site with multiple transmitters operating at the same time, the operators and licensees of which transmitters are responsible for mitigating overexposure situations. Who's responsible? Who's got to step up to the captain's mast? Okay, the answers that they give you is A, only the most powerful transmitter. That's not correct. B, only commercial transmitters. And no, that's not correct. C, each transmitter that produces 5% or more of its MPI limit in areas where the total MPI limit is exceeded happens to be the correct answer, everybody. And they throw in D here, each transmitter operating with a duty cycle greater than 50%. So, the answer again is another one of these, at least in my opinion, that speaks for itself. It is what it is. Any questions on this, please? KY6V.
This is KD0CDQ. That question's been around for a long time. I look at that question, that answer, so, well, yeah, that's an old one. KD0CDQ.
Yeah, you know, but it's a good question, too, Mike. I realize that we've used it in a lot of our classes. But things don't change, so, you know, it is what it is, as I say. Thanks, Mike. Okay, Kathleen, your finale, KY6V.
Well, when people call me by Kathleen, like you just did, I'm usually in trouble. Hopefully that's not the case. So my last question for this evening and for the extra course is Echo 0A05, and it reads, what is one of the potential hazards of operating in the amateur radio microwave bands? And your choices are alpha, microwaves are ionizing radiation, bravo, the high gain antennas commonly used can result in high exposure levels. And Charlie, is microwaves often travel long distances by ionospheric reflection? And Delta, the extremely high frequency energy can damage the joints of antenna structures. Your correct answer is bravo. The high gain antennas commonly used can result in high exposure levels. Now, microwave antennas normally have a high degree of gain and concentration in a particular direction. Avoid being around them. So, is there any questions, any comments before I throw this over to Gordon as he, I believe, will complete the class for tonight?
Sulu, India.
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, I just wanted to say that microwave frequencies are definitely dangerous, just like VHF. We had that one question about the human body being susceptible to 30 to 300 megahertz. It affects the body in a different way than microwave. Microwave will burn you up. Somebody said the other night, that was also in our discussion that we had the other night, said something about cooking your insides. So that's not a pleasant thought. So much for that. I wanted to thank you guys for the course. And I'll tell you what, it's helped me immensely. And it was fun to participate as well. Thanks again. So everything will be there for 4 years on the website. So if I blow it, I'll be able to study more. Back to you. K6SUN, KD5ZI.
I remember during the rag chew hearing about the microwaves. Probably at the time I was doing something in the microwave, and I thought that was funny. But I'm glad that we could help. I'm glad that we could be here. And yes, it will be there, but we all know that you'll pass it with flying colors and you won't need to go back to that website. But it's always there in case you want to go back and just refresh your memory. But I want to thank each and every one of you as well for being part of this class for the, I think it's 8 weeks, and for allowing me to be your instructor. I always enjoy it. And I think, I'm not sure how many years I've done this, but it's always a treat to see those people come home with the bacon. And definitely, like Gordon says, let us know, any of you that are going to take that extra so we can celebrate with you. So with that, everyone have a great evening. Stay safe and do what you need to be doing. With that, Gordon, I'll throw it over to you. I think it is your final question.
Okay. Thanks again for everything, Kathy, and thank you for your comments there, Tom, too. This last question that we're going to pose just amplifies what you were talking about and Kathy's last question also. And it is, at the end of the trail, Echo Zero Alpha 11, and it reads, which of the following injuries can result from using high power, UHF, or microwave transmitters? Sort of fits right into what we were talking about, huh? The answers that they give are hearing loss caused by high voltage corona discharge. You can throw that one out the window. The next answer that they give you is blood clotting from the intense magnetic field. I think you can disassemble that and throw it in file 13. C is the correct answer, and it reads localized heating of the body, which we've been talking about, from RF exposure in excess of the MPE limits. And then the last guy that they throw in here is ingestion of ozone gas from the cooling system. I still say these VECs have a lot of fun putting these questions together. So, okay, localized heating is the answer to remember. And Tom, I will comment. I was reading an interesting article just the other day. Let me buy a nickel. That the experts that have all the answers to everything, you know, are suggesting and saying now that if you're a red meat eater, the safest and best way to cook that is in the oven. Not on your barbecue, not in a microwave, but in a controlled temperature oven. So everybody put that in your smoke and pipe it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of the road. The ball is now fully in your court. Good luck in your pursuits, and keep us informed, please. Remember, the instructor staff is not going anywhere. And if you need any further questions answered, just send us an email at vyp@scarsvyp.com. So I'm going to turn it over to Mike and let him put the red ribbons on this big package. KY6V, go ahead, CGQ.
Okay, I caught him away from the kitchen.
I'll close it out, guys and gals. Any further comments or things of the good for the order, please? If now, call. Over.
This is KB0CDQ. On microwave ovens, being uninformed as I was years ago, I was working at JCPenney's, and it came along, we started selling these microwave ovens. We're trying to explain them to people, and we had no idea what we were talking about. This was 1982, probably, 81, 82. We didn't know what we were talking about. All we knew is that the stuff got cooked in there. And to this day, in my home, I never stand near the microwave oven when it's cooking, because I don't trust them. I still don't trust them, but I use them every day. It's a funny thing with microwave ovens, but when they first came out, they were kind of scary. KB0CDQ.
Yeah, I hear you, Mike. I've often thought about the use of cell phones and holding them right up at your ear at the gigahertz levels that they're transmitting. But I haven't heard anything derogatory about doing that. At least I haven't run across anything.
All right, Mike, would you like to officially close out the party for 2020? And it'll be 2024, just after July 1st of 2024, before we run another extra. KD0CDQ, KY6V.
KY6V and K6SUN, and I appreciate you coming in there, Tom, KG5ZI. Well, that's the end of this class, but this, again, will be there for about 4 years. It'll be sitting out there on a cloud somewhere. That's another mysterious thing. I don't know what they're talking about, being out there on a cloud. This will be out there. So if you know of anyone who is going to be taking an extra exam in the future, tell them about this. Tell them how to get on here and check these questions out. It'll make them feel more comfortable when they realize that there's other people, too, that other people out here, too, that are doing it, not doing it alone. It's the strangest thing when you walk in a room to take these tests and you see other people in it. Oh, boy, I thought I was the only nut here, but there's a whole bunch of nuts in the room. Everybody's sitting there ready to go. The strangest thing I've noticed when I took these tests years ago was some people would have these calculators with them. You know, the calculators were bigger then. They'd be carrying these calculators, and I didn't, I don't have a calculator. I wonder what that's for. Well, I never used one in a test, and I still don't know what they're for. But I think even to this day, you'll see folks come with maybe slide rules. Who knows what they'll have with them, just to feel more comfortable. I'd rather carry a teddy bear than a slide rule. That's all I've got for tonight. So remember, folks, if you have any questions, you can always get in touch with us. We've given us you plenty of time. It's at www.scarsvoip.com. We'll answer any questions you have, anything that's unusual. We're there for you. And I want to say, everybody, it's so good to hear you. So good to hear each one of you. And we know we enjoy what we're doing, and we hope other people enjoy listening and coming along with us. That's all I've got for now. This is KD0CDQ.